Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Before we actually get into the message today, I want to ask a question, but I need a couple of people to volunteer to answer the question that I'm going to ask. All right. So I need a couple of volunteers first before I ask the question, because I don't want you to guide it. I don't want you guys to kind of prep yourself or opt out before I actually give you the question. Once you hear the question, you might, nah, whatever. I need a couple of volunteers. Who's willing to volunteer? I promise you it's not a hard question, a very easy question. All right. So I need two volunteers.
Gotcha.
Brianna, always the first one to volunteer. So we got Brianna's one. Do we got a second one? Do we have a second one? Do we have a second person that's willing to answer the question for me? Come on.
I missed the question. I just joined.
Oh, I haven't asked the question. I haven't gave the question yet. I'm looking for two volunteers to answer the question. Once I get two volunteers, then I'm going to ask the question. All right. You volunteer? Okay. So we got Carlos and we got Brianna. Thank you too. So for being such a good sport and volunteering to answer a question that I'm about to give to you now. So here is the question for today. And that question is, what is the meaning or the purpose for baptism? Brianna, since you volunteered first, we're going to let you go first. Again, that question is, what is the meaning or the purpose for baptism?
Okay, I believe that the meaning of baptism is to renew your spirit or renew your soul. Something like that.
Okay.
The purpose is to renew your soul.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. That's good. All right. Well, thank you for that, Brianna, for participating. Carlos.
To be cleansed.
Okay.
Of any sins, any impurities, to be washed in the blood of Jesus.
Okay.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you, Brianna. Thank you, Carlos, for participating in that little activity. And that is answering the question, what is the purpose or the meaning and the purpose of baptism? So the reason I wanted to ask that question, because we are actually planning a baptism service. And we're planning a baptism service in the month of January. And I will be giving you guys some details. I have a tentative date and time set, but it's not confirmed just yet. But I have been talking with some people and what have you. So we are planning a baptism in the month of January. And again, you guys will be getting more details about that. So in planning this baptism, so today I'm going to be teaching about baptism, all right? And the title of today's lesson is, I Want to Be Baptized. The main objective is to understand why you should get baptized. So for anyone who is thinking about getting baptized, anyone who is considering getting baptized, anyone who has been baptized or whatever, you know what I mean? Or you know someone who's thinking about it, talking about it, whatever. So today's message is designed to give us some understanding as to why you should get baptized. So if anybody's ever asking that question or considering, then hopefully today we're going to be able to answer that question for you. The scripture that we're going to be using is Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. It's a very short scripture. I'm going to expound on it as we go and get further into the lesson. But it's a very short scripture that I'm starting with, and that is, I baptize you with water for repentance. And so we're going to explore that even a little bit more. All right. I want to make sure that everyone who is considering getting baptized has a good understanding of the reason or why they should get baptized. Too often people, they get baptized for reasons other than the original purpose. You know, it's just like some people, they go to church for reasons that has absolutely nothing to do with going to church. I know you guys, at some point in your lives, there was probably a time or a moment where you went to church for some other reason than the actual reason or purpose for going to church. I will confess, and there was a time in my life where I was like 19 years old, 18 years old, maybe 17. No, I'll say 18, 19. There was a time I used to go to church, and I didn't go to church for the right reason. I went to the church because I was on the hunt and I was on the prowl. Bad boy, right? Slap me on my hand for that. I thought maybe I could find me a good girl at church. So I went to church looking for a good girl. And in reality, it actually proved to be true because I went to church looking for a good girl and I found a good girl. Okay. But just like going to church, some people go to church for reasons other than the purpose or the reason, the right reason for going to church. Some people get baptized, you know, for reasons other than its original purpose. And original purpose. When that happens, the impact or the effect becomes null and void. If you get baptized, if someone gets baptized other than the purpose or the original purpose for baptism, then the impact or whatever it is that baptism is supposed to be about, it becomes null and void. Not to mention, it's not pleasing, nor is it acceptable to the Father. If you get baptized for a reason other than the purpose of it, it's null and void, and it's not pleasing to the Father. Remember Cain and his offering. Remember the two brothers, Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve's sons. Cain brought an offering to God as he was instructed to do, bring an offering, but his offering was not accepted. You know, his offering wasn't accepted because he did not participate. He did participate, but his offering was not accepted because he did not bring an offering as instructed. Okay. So therefore, he participated, but he did not bring an offering as it was instructed. Therefore, God did what? God rejected his offering. So if you get baptized, you know, so imagine this, you getting baptized and your baptism is not accepted. Your baptism is actually rejected by God. Why would God reject your baptism? He would reject your baptism because you did not get baptized for the original reason or purpose for baptism. You did not get baptized as instructed. And so we want to make sure that, you know, if you get baptized, that you should be motivated, that your act is found pleasing and accepting to the Father. I mean, that would be a crazy thing. I mean, just think about it. If you was to get baptized or somebody you know gets baptized and there's no response from God, you know what I mean? No response from God that lets you know that he's pleased with your act, or no response from God to let you know that your act was acceptable to him. But in fact, everything that you got, everything that you feel, everything that you heard was something was the opposite. You know, it was the contrary. It was that he did not accept your baptism, or he rejected your baptism. Okay. So one way to assure that God accepts your baptism, one way to assure that your baptism is found pleasing to God, is to make sure that you do it for its purpose. Do it for its original purpose. Do it as instructed. All right. So we want to make sure that everyone has a good understanding of its purpose and make a conscious decision as to why you are participating. So if you're someone who's considering baptism, or you know someone who's considering baptism, or if you have already been baptized, we want to make sure that everyone has a good understanding of the purpose and they're making a conscious decision as to why they getting baptized. So let's look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about baptism. All right. Here is something here. The first time that baptism is mentioned in the Bible is in the New Testament, in the beginning of the New Testament, with John the Baptist. Some of you are probably very familiar with John the Baptist. All right. He was the cousin of Jesus Christ. His mother was Mary, His mother was Elizabeth. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, was pregnant with Jesus, she had got a visit by an angel. The angel said, Mary, go visit your cousin Elizabeth, because she is also pregnant with a child. Mary went to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. She was also, both of them was pregnant, but Elizabeth was farther along in her pregnancy. And when Elizabeth and Mary met, The Bible says that the baby that was in Elizabeth's stomach jumped. It jumped with joy. That baby kicked so hard, jumped with joy, because now you have these two babies that are in the womb, in the stomach, in the bellies of their mothers, who are about to be a part of a prophesied destiny, who are about to be a part of something that had been prophesied by the prophet Elijah. Okay. And so we learned that John the Baptist became the forerunner to Jesus Christ. In other words, he was out preaching and everything and telling people about the coming of the prophesied Messiah, about the coming of the prophesied Jesus. All right. So here we find ourselves in a situation where John the Baptist talks about, or what we hear about baptism for the very first time in the Bible. And this situation here is John the Baptist is in the Jordan River and he's baptizing people. And as he's baptizing people, he's preaching and people are coming out. You know, they're coming out. Just imagine a big old crusade is going on down by the Mississippi River at Tom Lee Park. You know, a big, huge conference is going on. A big crusade is going on down at Tom Lee Park. And whoever that guy is, everybody in Memphis is all hearing about it. And they're going down there to the river so they can see what's going on. And as people go down there to the Jordan River and they're listening to John the Baptist preach, and it is moving them. It is having an impact on their lives. And so what John the Baptist starts doing is he starts baptizing people. All right. So again, this is the very first time that we hear baptism in the Bible. There's no other indication that we hear. So here we're going to start looking at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says this: John the Baptist, he is preparing the way. All right. Preparing the way for who? Preparing the way for Jesus Christ. It says in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is the one who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region about the Jordan River, they were going out to him, and they were baptized. So all these people are hearing about this man, John the Baptist, out there at the Jordan River, and he's preaching. And he's preaching such a powerful message that people are coming from all over Jerusalem. They're coming over from all over Judea and the entire region. People are traveling long distances to go see this man. Now, I know some of you are very familiar with people traveling long distances to go see some preacher preach a big old message, right? Like, I give you an example, like T.D. Jakes. Y'all remember T.D. Jakes used to do Woman Thou Art Loose and used to do Manpower? People would travel not only just from around the country, this country, people would come from other countries to hear and to be a part of T.D. Jakes and Woman Thou Art Loose and be a part of T.D. Jakes and Manpower and so forth. So John the Baptist out there preaching, all these people coming, traveling long distances to hear him preach. And it says this, and they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, doing what? Confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, he said, you brood vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come? He said, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. We're going to pause right there with that. And we're going to come back and we're going to pick up right on these scriptures here later. But I want to pause right there for just a minute. This event is the first time where we hear baptism in the Bible. John, he is very clear on letting people know and letting us know the purpose for baptism. There's one word that he uses consistently, and that word is repentance. John the Baptist is letting us know, and he's making it very clear, that the purpose for baptism is for repentance. Amen. He says here, John the Baptist was in the wilderness, and he was preaching in Judea, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as he's out there and he's preaching, and he says that he was baptizing them, all right? He says, and they were baptized in the Jordan River, doing what? Confessing their sins. He lets us know that it's very clear. The purpose, there is no mistaking that the purpose for baptism is for the repentance of sin. How many of you that have been baptized, that can hear my voice, that can see my beautiful face right here? How many of you have been baptized for the purpose of repentance? You know, I can remember when I was a little kid and I got baptized at Taylor's Chapel CME Church out in Germantown. And I remember we had this thing called the Mourner's Bench. And my brother, Eric, and my cousin, Trina Bolden, they were on the Mourner's Bench with some couple other kids in the church. And I was 1 year too young to get on the Mourner's Bench. I had to wait another year. All right. And it was the age, it was the age of nine, I believe, that you can get on the Mourner's Bench. So I was 8 years old. I'm watching them every night, Monday through Friday. We're going to the church, having these revivals at church, and they praying. You know, Eric and Trina, they sit up there on the front row, and all the deacons, all the pastors, everybody, all the motherboard is standing over them, praying over them, singing songs, worshiping, preaching, doing all kinds of stuff. They calling down fire from heaven for them to get saved. All right. And so for them to, you know, have some type of sign, they had to do something. They had to shout or something had to, there had to be something visible to show that they have accepted Jesus Christ or they received Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit into their lives, right? As I'm watching this, by the time we got to Tuesday night, I had went home and I talked to my grandma, Muddy, and I said, Muddy, I want to go on the Mourner's Bench. She said, Byron, you're too young. You can't go on the Mourner's Bench. She said, but I know what they're doing. I want to go on the Mourner's Bench. She said, do you know what's actually taking place here? Do you know what's going on? Do you understand this? I said, yes, I understand. And she told me to tell her. And I told her, I said, you know, the Mourner's Bench is when people, you know, they're accepting Jesus Christ into their heart to be their Lord and Savior and stuff. And I said some other things to her. And she was like, you do understand what's going on. I said, yeah, I do understand. I want to go on. She said, I'll talk to the pastor. And if the pastor agrees, then we'll see if we can get you on. Well, the pastor agreed and he let me on. Right. So me and my brother and my cousin Trina, we all got on the Mourner's Bench. And then that Sunday we got baptized. And when we got baptized, you know, we didn't have a baptism pool in Morningstar. So the pastor took a little bowl of water and he dipped his fingers in and he's splashing water in my face, you know, and said, you baptized. Okay, anyway.
Not Morningstar.
I'm sorry. Taylor's Chapel. So that was my baptism. I got baptized with some water splashed in my face at the age of eight. And so I understood, you know, that Jesus was God's son. I understood that Jesus, you know, was the savior of the world. I understood that I needed to go through a process of accepting him as my Lord and my savior into my life. But one thing that I did not understand is I did not understand the concept or the purpose for repentance. Okay, that's what I did not understand. I understand accepting Jesus. I believed in Jesus. I understood that he was God's son and all that stuff like that. I understood that, but I did not understand the purpose for repentance. All right. So years later, at the age of 22, when I moved to Des Moines, Iowa, I started seeking God for the first time in my life. And when I say seeking God, truly seeking God, I wanted to know, I needed proof. I needed evidence that God, this whole God stuff was really real. I needed proof that Jesus, you know, and all this, the Holy Spirit, all this stuff, the Bible, everything that I was raised in church to believe. I needed some proof that all that stuff was real. So I really started seeking God. I really started seeking Jesus Christ. And when I did, you know, God and Jesus slowly began to reveal themselves to me in a real way. All right. You're not going to find Jesus. You're not going to find God if you're not looking for them. That's just like anything in life. You know, if you ain't looking for a dollar, you ain't going to find no dollar. It's just as simple as that. You want a dollar? Go get it. I wanted Jesus Christ. I wanted God. So I went after them and I found them. At a certain point in my life, at the age of 22, I really, truly began to understand why I needed a forgiveness of sins in my life, why I needed repentance in my life, and why Jesus died on the cross. I really, truly began to understand why Jesus gave up his entire life for us to be able to live and to receive this thing that's called eternal life, this thing that's called salvation. Why is he called the savior of the world? When I truly understood that, it took me to a different place. And I made the decision at 22 years old that I was going to get rebaptized, and I didn't want to get sprinkled in the face. I wanted to be dipped down underwater, completely submerged, just like Jesus Christ did when he was in the Jordan River, just like John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Take me to the water. Y'all know that song, right? I wanted to be taken to the water, all right? And so I got rebaptized at Morningstar Baptist Church by Pastor Crawford in Des Moines, Iowa. And at that point, I understood what it meant to confess my sins. I understood what forgiveness was all about. I understood that I needed to repent. Amen. So when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came out to see what John was doing out there, he said some things to them. All right. And he said something else. All right, so we understand that there's a consistency in what John the Baptist is saying at this baptism and people are getting baptized. One is he's telling them to be baptized and to repent of their sins, and people that was coming up to him and he was dipping them down into the water, and they were confessing their sins. All right. And so there was something else that John the Baptist said. There was something else that he did that gave more purpose to baptism. All right. So when the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they came up to him to see what he was doing, this is what he said to them. He tells them to bear fruit by keeping with repentance. All right. Here's another thing. He says, bear fruit by keeping with repentance. And he goes on to say to them also, he says this. He says, every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water, and I baptize you with water for what? For repentance. Now, I want you guys to really pay attention to this part right here. To me, this is a very unique and a very special part that John is sharing. And he's talking, as he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he's letting them know that repentance is an act of bearing fruit. I'm gonna say that one more time. He's letting them know that repentance is an act of bearing fruit. He tells them, bear fruit by keeping with repentance. He said, therefore, he said, if every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? Cut down and thrown into the fire. Bearing fruit is an act of good character. It's something that you do to show that you are a good person. It's also a way to bring glory and bring glory to the Father. And it's a way of publicly confessing who your allegiance is to. All right. I want you guys to go back. I believe it was in the beginning of the summer. And I think most of the summer, I did a message called Much Fruit. If you remember that message, Much Fruit, one of the things that we were talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, long suffering. Help me out. What's some of the other ones? Anyway, self-control. So those fruits, I think it was nine fruits of the spirit. We did this series called Much Fruit. All right. I want you all to know. So in the book of John, this is the scripture that we was using in that series. And it says, John chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, By this fruit, because Jesus was telling the disciples and he was telling some other people that he was ministering to, he was telling them to do what? To bear much fruit. He was telling them to bear much fruit. And he says, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. When we bear much fruit, when we bear good fruit, it is a way of bringing glory to the Father, and it's also a way of proving who our allegiance is to. It's also a way of proving that we are indeed disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he said, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. When John the Baptist was telling them that to bear fruit unto what? Unto repentance. Bearing fruit is a good character. It tells people, it shows people that you are a good person. It's also a way of bringing glory to the Father. When you bear good fruit, you bring glory to the Father. When you bear good fruit, guess what? You prove that you are his disciples. By public, when you get baptized, you are publicly confessing who your allegiance is to. The first time we hear about baptism is with who? John the Baptist. Guess what? The first time we hear about bearing good fruit is with who? John the Baptist. The first time we hear about bearing fruit is with John the Baptist, all right? By this, John the Baptist, okay, he said, so here it is. He says, bear fruit by keeping with repentance. And that's what we want to do. Another purpose for baptism is to bear good fruit by repenting, bringing glory to the Father and publicly confessing who your allegiance is to. So I heard this, there's churches all over the nation and their baptism, they call their baptism going public. And so we're going to be doing a baptism in the month of January. And our baptism, we call it the same thing. We call it going public. All right. And that is in a public way. We want to do an act. We want to participate in an act that is going to bring glory to God, but also it's going to be a public confession of our allegiance. All right. Public and confessing who our elite. We want to prove to the world that we are disciples of Jesus Christ and by bearing fruit of repentance in baptism. All right. So I hope everybody's following me so far, right? I know it's a lot of stuff to chew on right there. I hope you guys are understanding it. All right. That's the most important thing that you understand. The Bible says wisdom is a principal thing, but above all, and above all, do what? Get understanding. So I'm hoping and praying that you guys are understanding what I'm saying here. So let's go on. Let's keep going. All right. What time is it? I watch my clock. All right. I'm trying to talk real fast because I got a lot of stuff here, y'all. Let's talk about kids getting baptized. All right. Remember I told you I got baptized at the age of 8, you know, the pastor sprinkled some water in my face. So let's talk about kids getting baptized. We at Crosstown Church, we believe that letting kids participate in their own personal relationship with Christ. We believe in creating a pathway for kids to come to Jesus Christ, to know and understand who Jesus Christ is, all right? In the book of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14, it says this, but Jesus said, let the children come unto me, do not stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those like them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them as well. It is our duty to make a pathway for kids to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Baptism is one way, all right, is one way to lead them on the pathway to Christ. So because baptism is one of those pathways to lead them to Christ, then we at Crosstown Church, we believe in using baptism for kids to help them, to lead them on the pathway to Christ. Because Jesus said himself, he said, let them come unto me. He says, let the children come unto me and do not stop them. So we're not going to stop them. All right. We're going to allow for children to participate. But everybody say, but this is what we're going to do. We have decided at Crosstown Church, and this is all the way in the very beginning. This is in our bylaws when we first established the church. So this is not a brand new thing that's just been established here today, but when we formed Crosstown Church of Memphis and we submitted our bylaws and our chartership with the state of Tennessee, this is actually written within our bylaws. And that is, we at Crosstown Church, we start baptizing children at the age of 9 years old, not before, but at the age of 9 years old. When I was at Taylor's Chapel CME, we used to have the mornings bitch and what have you. And they would, at 9 years old was the age where kids go on the mornings bitch, right? And I didn't know and understand that. But as I got older, I began to know and understand it, all right? So you asked the question, why 9 years old? 9 years old, 9 to 10 years old, well, you could do some studies, you can do some research on this, but 9 to 10 years old is when most children have grasped, have a good understanding, or they have grasped themselves of their own self. They have grasped the understanding of other people. They have grasped the understanding of their perceived world. All right. A lot of children grow up and they just, you know, they just do whatever, you know, you guys can attest to this. Kids just do whatever, say whatever, you know what I'm saying? They'll say whatever. And sometimes kids don't have no filters whatsoever. They're so innocent. You know, they just don't know. You know what I mean? And a lot of things that kids do, they do it because they're taught. So if a kid decides not to do something, they do that because they've been taught not to do that. You know, maybe you don't spank their hand enough and they don't want that pain no more. Or you don't spank their behind some more and they don't want that pain no more. Or maybe there are some ways that you've done to teach them that, hey, that's right and that's wrong. And they'll do what's right and what's wrong based on what you have taught them. At the age, between the ages of 9 and 10 is when most children, not all, but most children, it's when they truly began to have an understanding. They truly began to grasp those things that you have taught them. They truly understand why this is wrong or why this is right. Or they truly understand that, man, this person over here, they have feelings. And if I do this, then I could really be hurting their feelings. You know, before, you know, when they're younger, when they're four, you know, something like they'll do something to another kid and they don't care. They just, you know. But at the age, somewhere between the age 9 and 10, they truly began to grasp it. They truly began to feel it. They truly began to understand it. You know, this is the age where kids, they say that their consciousness begins to come alive. All right. Well, my grandmother asked me, you know, years ago when I was 8 years old about going on the morning's bench, you know, at that age, you know, I began to, it's like my consciousness began to awaken. It's like, I think I'm getting this. I think I'm understanding this, you know, what they're talking about. You know, this is also the place where their consciousness becomes awakened and they have a better grasp on their decision to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. All of our children have to come to their own place. You know, we can teach them, we can bring them up in church. We can teach them to love Jesus Christ, why they need to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, about heaven. We can teach them about heaven, about hell, about God, the devil. We can teach them all these things. But at some point in their lives, we have to, as parents, know and understand that they have to come to that place of understanding for themselves. We could teach it to them, but we can't force them to accept it. If they're going to accept it, they have to come to a place to accept it for themselves. I was taught these things, you know, it was rammed, it was, you know, jammed down my throat, you know, all the time. You know, I was forced to participate in Easter plays, Christmas plays, all other kind of stuff at church. I was, you know, doing Easter speeches and all that stuff. I was forced to. At some point, at the age of 22, you know, something began to happen to me where it was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, some kids began to start understanding around the ages of 9 and 10, but sometimes we grown before we really get it. I was grown before I really get it. My brother used to tell me all the time, man, when are you going to wake up? Bro, what are you talking about? I'm already awake. Anyway, they began to understand. They also began to understand the need for forgiveness. You know, children around that age, they began to understand when they do something wrong, man, I actually did something wrong and it really hurt that person's feeling. I really made mom upset and I understand why mom is upset. I really disappointed dad and I understand why I disappointed dad. I understand that my actions caused a negative impact on them and their feelings. I hurt them, you know, and they began to understand the need for forgiveness. You know, we want to make sure that kids understand what they're doing when they get baptized. When a child gets baptized, we need to make sure as parents, we need to do what we can to make sure they understand why they're getting baptized. We don't want baptism to be just some spiritual or some church ritual that we're doing. We want baptism to be a meaningful event in their lives, something that they can truly understand. We want them to understand the need to ask for forgiveness of their sins and to repent. We also want kids to be able to make a conscious decision for themselves about their baptism. All right. That's why parents, anyone who have children, grandchildren, you know, somebody living in your house, or I mean, grown folks, kids, whatever, but parents particularly, I'm talking to the parents, you know, that we're asking parents to do something. We're asking parents to have a serious conversation with your children about baptism. Okay, don't just sign them up for baptism. Don't just tell them, hey, you're going to get baptized. but sit them down, have a serious conversation with them about baptism and make sure that they understand what baptism is about and help them to understand or to be a part of the decision that about being baptized. Okay, when I had a conversation with my grandmother, or should I say, she's the one who had a conversation with me. She didn't just say, okay, Byron, we're gonna let you go on the morning's bench. You can get saved and get baptized. She said, no, do you understand what this is all about? And she had a serious conversation with me that night. And this is something else that she did to me. I was 8 years old. Y'all remember back in the day, we used to have them big old thick Bibles that was like 3 inches thick. And that big old Bible, Holy Bible, set on the coffee table or in the living room table or something like that. We had one of them big old Bibles on our living room table. It stayed there. All right. Nobody, you better not touch that Bible. You better not move it. All right. That Bible was like a staple in our house. It was like the cornerstone of everything. Right. And my grandmother, after she had that conversation with me, that she got that Bible and she turned it and opened it up to the Ten Commandments. And you know what she said to me? She said, Byron, if you're serious about going on the morning's bench, she said, I want you to memorize these Ten Commandments. She said, come to me in the morning. If you have these Ten Commandments memorized, then I'll talk to the pastor. My grandmother had a serious conversation with me, and she wanted to know if I was serious about what I was requesting. She wanted to make sure that, Byron, this ain't no game. This ain't something to play with. We're talking about your life. We're talking about a commitment that you're talking about, you're willing to make in Jesus Christ. We're talking about the confession of your sin. Do you understand this? I'm not saying that if you don't understand this as a child, that you're a bad person. No, we're not saying this. But if you make this step, if you decide that you want to do this, let's make sure that you're serious and that you know and that you understand about what the step that you're about to make in your life. So I am asking parents, don't just sign your kids up. Don't just tell them they're going to get baptized. Sit your children down and teach them what baptism is all about. All right. Most kids, they have no say-so whatsoever in their baptism. All right. Now, if baptism is about repentance, how is it that parents are making the decisions concerning their child's own sins without consulting the child? I mean, think about it. I'm going to say that one more time. So if baptism is about repentance, how is it that parents are making a decision concerning their own child's sins without even consulting the child? If I'm not saying that parents should not be a part of the decision making. You should. It's your child. You should be a part of that decision making. What I'm saying is include the kids in that decision making. You do this by teaching them what baptism is all about. Teach them about John the Baptist. Teach them why John the Baptist was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Teach them that people were publicly confessing their sins. Teach them that it's a spiritual symbol of people being washed of their sins and giving a good conscience. All right. And we're going to talk about this good conscience thing, because I said between 9 and 10 is when kids' consciousness begins to awake. In the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Listen to this right here, okay? I'm about to finish. I'm trying to wind this up, y'all. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves lives. Not as the removal of dirt from your body, but as an appeal to God for a good consciousness through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism, it corresponds to this, all right? It corresponds to this. Understand this, all right? I'm trying to make sure everybody understands it. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves life. Not as removing of dirt from the body, but it's removing of dirt from your soul. It's the washing of sins, not your physical body, but your spiritual body. Okay, your soul. All right. It says as an appeal to God, you're appealing to God. You're going to God. You're making a plea to God. You're making a request to God for what? What is it that you want from God? A good conscience. A good conscience. You want the guilt and the shame of the sin that's in your life. And it's not just the sin from that point, the past sins. It's from the sins from that point even forward too, because you're going to commit more sins just because you go down in water and you get dipped. You go down dirty, you come up dirty. All right. Listen, you're going to commit sins for the rest of your life. It's not about washing your sins away forever. It's about clearing you of this guilty consciousness of sin, knowing it says through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have all gained eternal life. So he said, listen, this is what baptism is. It's not about washing dirt off your body and clean, you know, it's about cleansing your spirit, cleansing your soul of the sin, the guilt of shame, the guilt of sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ has died for you. And not only did he die for you, he resurrected for you. He gave his life for you so that you can be cleansed and the guilt of shame of sin can be removed from your life. Amen. You will also teach the children that baptism is a pathway to letting Jesus into their hearts. John the Baptist, he continued to say in the verse, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance. Here we bring it to a closure now. He said, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I am, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The person that John the Baptist was talking about was Jesus Christ. Just as John said those words, just as he was speaking those words, guess what happened? Jesus Christ himself walked up on the scene. When Jesus Christ walked up on the scene, this is all happening in the same day, y'all. This is all happening in the same moment. John the Baptist is still standing in the river, baptizing the people. John the Baptist is talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, calling them brood vipers and telling them that they need to bear much fruit. Bear the fruit of repentance, you know, by bearing much fruit, they're going to do something that is pleasing and honorable to God, you know, and it proves that they are, you know, who their allegiance is to. And just as he said these words to them, he said, I baptize you with water to repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus walks up on the scene. He walks straight up to John the Baptist. John the Baptist looking at him with his own. He knows who he is because this is his cousin, right? This is his family member, right? He'd been knowing who Jesus was since he was a little kid, all right? They was raised to know who each other was, right? Jesus walks up on the scene. And he said, oh my gosh, everybody, the guys that I've been preaching about for the longest, this is him. This is the dude right here. This is him. This is the guy I was telling you about that's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and baptize you with Father. I'm baptizing you with water. This is the guy right here that's got the real baptism, all right? The fire, the Holy Spirit baptism. And Jesus looks at John the Baptist. He says, John, I need you to baptize me. Just like you baptizing all these people right here, I need you to baptize me. John the Baptist, he said, no, Jesus. He said, you need to be baptizing me. You're the Christ. You're the Savior of the world. You need to be. And Jesus says, John, I need you to baptize me. And so John the Baptist, he baptizes Jesus Christ in the water. In verse 16 of the very same chapter, it says, after being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up. He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. There was a huge light that came out of the clouds. You guys see, you've seen sometimes where the clouds are in the sky and the sun be shining through the clouds and creating rays that come down to the earth. So this light was shining down right on Jesus Christ. And it says, and behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. All of Jesus' life that we know of, we haven't seen any evidence of this. All of Jesus' life up until this point, we have never heard God speak directly out of the sky to Jesus concerning Jesus. This is the first recorded time that we know of. All right. A voice comes out of the heavens and it says, this is my beloved Son who I am well pleased. On January the 9th, our attentive date, we're going to have a baptism. It's going to be at the, I'm already in conversations with the YMCA Rick Neuber, YMCA on Quince, and they are giving us, allowing us to use their swimming pool to do a baptism. And so once I get everything confirmed, I will give you guys the full details on that, and we'll begin to promote that event publicly. We're going to do a baptism. And our baptism, for those that want to get baptism, this is going to be a public confession of your sins unto repentance. Amen. This is not going to be a religious ritual. This is going to be a public confession of your sins unto repentance. We're going to baptize any child that's 9 and above that wants to be baptized, to walk them down to a pathway to Jesus Christ. Amen. On that day, we want to make sure that everyone participating are getting that everyone that's participating get baptized has a good understanding of the purpose of baptism. All right. We want to make sure that everyone, they understand that it is for the cause of repentance, that it is a symbol to be cleansed of their sins, that by doing so, they will bring glory to the Father, and that it is a public confession of where your allegiance lies. On that day, we want the heavens to open up, and we want God to say, "These are my children in whom I am well pleased."
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.